Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Come on yourself again, Anton. How are you doing this Sunday afternoon?
Not so bad, Dave. What have you been up to?
I've been up to
any
lots
news,
of things.
Any news, any crack, any gossip?
No news, no crack.
How are you feeling in yourself?
I'm watching a bit of the Olympics. How am I feeling in myself? Nice. I'm feeling fantastic. How are you?
Are you? Ah, good.
Oh, yes,
good.
Just get on.
It's
with
always
the story,
a pleasure to talk to you. Well, I tell you what I'm going to do, Dave. You may not be aware of this, but every week I end up with what I think the French call the mot d'escalier, the leftover things that you wish that you would have said at the time.
Oh.
And they have gradually built up on me like a three-legged hamster. And eventually, I think the time has come for us to go back through the ones that you keep cutting me off before I get to. So
wow.
with your permission, I would like to do a greatest hits set.
Fantastic.
Of stuff.
Go for it.
Right. If you discover yourself putting on a little bit of weight and you want to shed it, maybe post-COVID you've thrown on a few pounds and you want to slim back down again, there is a device that will solve all of your problems called the Dental Slim, which is a magnetic lock that will effectively wire your jaws together.
That's
a real thing.
So that means
real
thing. That means you can't put food in your mouth.
You have a 2 millimeter gap. It leaves a 2 millimeter gap between your upper and lower teeth. So you hardly talk like this, but you can't get any solid food into your mouth.
Well, I definitely will not be getting one of those. Should you remember what happened with the genital clamp that I had in the chastity belt?
I know.
Belt?
I was just thinking exactly that. Dublin Fire Brigade will never look at that jaws of life the same way.
Dublin Fire Brigade. It was kind of a Jean-Claude Van Damme type came along. I mean, it was a kind of a... I don't know. It's very hard to say exactly what I had to get, but a guy came along with a custom-built kind of brushless, cordless and lithium kind of Wankel rotary engine powered axle grinder. And he freed me. He was great.
Well, that's good. Was it an impact drive or an old style?
Well, it was kind of like
rotary.
A Kango hammer, basically. I mean, like it was.
Oh,
it was
God.
Less, it wasn't as painful as it sounds, but I was the talk of the country club for at least a week, I can tell you. And also, I had to pay Jean-Claude, this kind of...
Well, of course. You know, nobody whips out their Kango for free, Dave.
Exactly. He was the wielder of the yoke. For I had to pay him a fortune.
Well,
it,
this may
was
not
worth it. He was very good about adhering to the big three word lesson of the day, which is gently does it. Yeah, he was good. But wait a minute, what do you call him? Hannibal Lecter. Doesn't Hannibal Lecter have one of those things on his mouth sometimes?
Hannibal Lecter had a similar thing, which is a lower face complete shield. But this would have actually solved a lot of Hannibal Lecter problems because he would have looked less threatening, but he wouldn't have been able to eat people unless he liquidized them. But then again, being Hannibal Lecter, he probably would have been quite happy to liquidize them, so it mightn't have caused the same problem.
Do you remember Ruprecht? No.
Yes.
Yeah.
May I go to the bathroom?
Yes, that's it. Brilliant, because it's a very underrated and brilliant Hollywood comedy.
Oh, phenomenal!
It's so good with Steve Martin and Michael Caine, and it's Ruprecht. Bring on the genital clamp. It's just fantastic. But I'll tell you, do you know who should have one of those muzzles? Again, you don't really follow the football, but Luis Suarez. Do you remember Suarez used to... He bit your man, the captain of Italy, who just won, Cellini and Ivanucci or whatever you call him. Yeah. So he should probably have
him and Mike Tyson, pair of them.
Right.
Really solved a lot of problems.
Exactly, I forgot about Mike Tyson, yeah.
But this now, it sounds like a completely ridiculous thing, but it is from a university in New Zealand, the University of Otago, and they have created it for people who need to precipitously drop weight. So it's not, you know, you put this on your mouth and you live the rest of your life. It's, let's say you're having gastric surgery and you need to shed 12 or 14 pounds in advance of that. This is a way that will get you into drastic weight loss. And they did a test of it on, I think, about 13 or 14 people just to see did it work. And all except one on the control lost in and around 5% of their body weight across the 2 week period.
But I mean, like every single year.
No, hang on, Dave.
Oh, sorry, you're not finished.
Hang on. All but one, Dave.
All right. Okay, all but one. Okay, let me just think about this then. He or she died, no?
No.
He or she, I don't know, what?
He or she took to liquidizing chocolate.
Oh, right. Well, yeah, well, drinking chocolate, why not, you know? But I mean...
Imagine being that committed to your sweets. You have gone into a control group, so you're in the obesity end of the spectrum.
I might do that.
You've gone into the...
I love chocolate.
you've gone into a control group where they have literally wired your jaw shut together with an oral chastity belt, and you've gone home, sat there for the afternoon, and think, you know what I'll do? I'll liquidize a Twix.
Well, like,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, like, are you one of these people? Well, you are, and so am I. I'm like, I've never had to even think about weight one way or the other. In fact, sometimes I think I feel they should put some on. But every single year, there's always something that came along, and people spent billions on it, like Weight Watchers and grapefruit and, you know, I don't know, Slim Fast and cabbage soup and, I don't know, Jenny Craig. Do you remember the Atkins diet? Atkins actually was, it wasn't what you eat, it was when you eat. And we all believed that for a year or two. Give me a break.
No, that's not right. Atkins was about what you eat. Atkins was the cutting out of carbohydrates so that in theory you go into ketosis.
How did
and
I
your
know
body
you'd know?
Daft crap. Anywho. Have you ever gone searching under your house?
Ever gone searching under my house? I definitely have not, no.
Have you ever thought, I wonder what they made the foundations of my house out of?
No, things like that I don't really necessarily want to know.
Well, it turns out you're wise, because a man in Michigan has just found that his house foundation is made out of at least 158 bowling balls.
158 bowling balls? Is that a bad thing? I mean, what are they doing there?
Being foundation.
Really? They're actually used to be a foundation for the house. So therefore, they
ballast,
have,
if you will.
Ballast, yeah, right, okay. So that's pretty good, I presume, is it? I mean, I've no idea.
Do you know about the ballast board?
No, I don't.
The ballast board was the organisation in Dublin responsible for the construction of quays and all the rest of it. So there's a great south wall running from the Poolbeg Lighthouse all of the way back in, because that's actually the way it goes. It goes from the lighthouse in, not from the city out. All the way back into where? Almost opposite the customs house. It was the ballast board who was responsible for that kind of stuff. And it was the ballast board who was responsible for, like, doing things like the dredging of the Alexander Dock and all the rest of it. But why, Dave, would an organisation responsible for the building of piers be called a ballast board?
I don't know, Anton. Why?
Because in ye olden times, with ye olden sailing ships and so forth, the ships would never sail empty. The ships would either have cargo, or if they were empty, you had to fill them with ballast because they'd roll over.
Oh,
they were so buoyant.
Right.
And what would happen is they would sail up to wherever they wanted to be, say Dublin. They would hang out in the harbour. The cargo would be brought out to them. And what they'd do is they'd take all the rocks that were in the ship and just dump them overboard because they didn't need them anymore, which had the unfortunate side effect of putting a load of rocks where there were ships. So you created a ballast board to control how ballast was moved and offloaded and where it was put. And that became the place that gave us the Great South Wall and the Bull Wall and the Bull Island and the Alexander Dock and all
story.
That.
Right. That is amazing.
Thanks, Dave.
Let's just go back to
the
bowling balls.
Thanks, you fake it beautifully.
Were these good bowling balls, like proper bowling balls and nothing wrong with them?
No, these were all flawed in one way or another. The company Brunswick, which you will know to be probably the most significant provider of bowling equipment in the world, not just in the United States, had a factory in this area wherein they made balls. They allowed workers to take home their balls if they discovered that their balls had a problem. So if there was a flaw on your balls, if your balls didn't look as well as they might have looked, if your balls weren't entirely spherical, then they were your balls to do with as you saw fit. Now, what's interesting about this is around this time, there was something of a revolution in the world of balls, because previously balls had been entirely made of rubber. Originally, they were hardwood. Then they moved to hard rubber. But in the 50s, there was a transitional phase where Brunswick began to make balls out of plastic. And I suspect, therefore, that there was a lot of ironing out of difficulties and blemishes in these balls.
And sometimes
instance,
it didn't work. Yeah.
One man took home at least 158 of them and used them to build his house.
But then this other guy bought the house and realised they were there.
This other guy bought the house and thought, I'll do a little bit of refurbishing. And he put out a corner of the wall and a bowling ball fell out. And he went, why is there a bowling ball?
Have you ever gone bowling?
I have. It's among the most boring things I've ever done.
Have you ever heard the song
life.
Take the Skinheads Bowling? Great song by the Dead Milkman. Hold on a second. Very important point here. It's really weird. The bowling alley, I think the first in Ireland, is in my neck of the woods. It's just up the road. It's gone now. They just took it down after 400 years.
I saw that. Is that the Stillorgan Bowl?
Yeah. It's gone.
I was amazed. How can that just be gone?
Because they can, and they're going to build apartments and all that there. The usual kind of story. And in fact, there was a whole kind of a leisure plexi thing going on, like kids'
there
parties
was.
And things. And I went to many a kids' party there. Anyway, the point about it is that I only did bowling a few times. It's actually pretty good. Do you know who played there? Do you know who actually played in that place?
No,
Bruce Springsteen. Bruce Springsteen took it over one night, and so did Phil Collins. There you are.
Bruce Springsteen played in the Stillorgan Bowl.
Yeah, and you know something else? Harry Truman got a bowling alley put underneath the White House.
I did not know that. Hang on. I want to go back to Truman, but first, surely Springsteen can sell out bigger venues. Why was he doing it in the Stillorgan Bowl?
The Stillorgan Bowl. But he thought it was like the Hollywood Bowl. Hey! No, I've no, I've no idea. But you know, he didn't play music there. God, it was after a gig. He went up and used the damn place to play bowling.
Oh, sorry. Oh, God. I thought you meant like he came to Dublin and thought, where will I play? I know. It's like, well, it's a bit obscure.
Wow, huge place.
Okay. So likewise, Phil Collins went there to bowl rather than to drum and to sing.
Exactly.
Ah, okay. Well, here, I'll give you a nice factoid that you probably already know, but what the hell. You know the adjoining townland to Stillorgan, Leopardstown?
Yeah, I do, of course. Yeah, I'm up.
Do you know from whence it gets its name?
Oh, there used to be leopards there. No, I have no idea.
Very close.
Really?
There used to be lepers there.
Oh,
it
lepers.
Was a,
right.
It was a colony for those with wow. leprosy. It was effectively an asylum for lepers, and it was Lepers Town. And of course, the people in the area thought, well, nothing will knock down your house prices like associations with leprosy. So it became Leopards Town. But it is originally because that's where.
So
the
do you know the kind of
to.
The derivation of all the names of the place in Dublin? Inchicore, tell me that one.
Ah, damn it. I can't do you Inchicore, but I can give you Ring's End. And the supposition about Ring's End, which is next to Inchicore, is that. No, it's not. Sorry. It's next to Irish Town. I'm getting mixed up on
Irish
the two.
Town,
no,
yep.
I can't do Inchicore. I got nothing
right,
on
okay. Well, tell me about Ring's End.
Did you know there's a place in Finglas called Slut's End?
No, I didn't know that.
There is. There's a Slut's End just up from Finglas. And which, funny, doesn't get used as much as it once did. But I'd love to be, what's your dress? 13 Meadowbrook on, Slut's End.
My father used to have all these things. Like, why did Dolly Mount? To get a fair view. Hey, and all these things. Loads of them.
Well, I can tell you why Dolly Mount. Dolly Mount was named after Dolly Vernon, who was the landowner in the area, and he named the hill after his wife. Because he was posh and
like,
rich.
Like these things that you know, do you get
are
out,
useless,
do you get out much?
Dave. No, never. That's the point. So this man found 158 bowling balls under his house and believes that there are now more under there, and he has dug them all out and he is going to see
and the house collapsed.
Them as some kind of decor. Well, he was knocking down the bit that they were under anyway, but they worked perfectly well as ballast, as sort of, you know, general
fantastic.
Hardcore under his gaff.
Fantastic. Okay.
A herd of drunk Indian buffaloes exposed a hidden stash of contraband liquor and got a group of farmers arrested.
Buffaloes. What's the difference between a buffalo and a bison? Or is there a difference?
It's interesting you should ask that, Dave. Right. A buffalo is a water cow, effectively, which is common in many parts of the world, including Asia and Italy. A bison is a large, shaggy animal, which was the staple of most of the Native American tribes across America who used to hunt it in a sustainable fashion before it was almost entirely eradicated by the whites, who came in and just slaughtered willy-nilly and didn't properly use the meat or anything, left whole buffalo carcasses out in the wild. But the bison's nickname is also buffalo, which causes great confusion between the buffalo that is the water buffalo and the buffalo that is the bison.
Wow, and I innocently asked the question. Very good, okay.
It's true. And Foley artists, you know the lads who make noises?
Yeah.
Right. Well, the BBC for years used to use the sound of a herd of stampeding bison as the background, very nice, thank you, as the background track for horse racing, because it sounded better.
Oh, listen, we had that before. We had the guy on who does all that. He's fantastic.
And like, isn't it amazing?
Everything is a cheat. The biggest cheat of all is the Oxford-Cambridge boat race. And you hear the lapping of the thingy bobs that you pull the oars. And like, it's not the lapping of it all. It's something like he's slurping tea. And also, the most amazing one, it's just fantastic. And we played all the bits. It's like, is the arrow in archery, like leaving the bow and then hitting the target up above. All the like, all of that. Yeah, exactly. It's all made up, like in flight. It's nothing to do with what actually is happening on the day. And your man was amazed that I was so amazed. Like, surely you don't really believe it was. Like, well, I did actually.
Well, and apparently this has become a problem for particularly combat sports, because when people play video games, for the generation that grew up with video games and grew up with. Exactly, they're used to biff and pow. And when they watch things like boxing, there is no biff and pow.
They should
you
do it like Batman used to do. Well, BIFF would come up on the
screen
and POW with an exclamation marker for. Yeah. right, where are we? We're talking about bison, is it?
Oh, yeah, bison. We were talking about buffaloes. A herd of Indian buffaloes exposed a hidden stash of contraband liquor and got a group of farmers arrested. A vet was called, this is according to the Times of India, because a group of buffaloes appeared to be ill. They had begun, as, and I quote the insider.com, they had begun jumping around willy-nilly and frothing at the mouth and generally looking unwell. The farmers called the vet. The vet arrived and discovered that the vat, or the trough from which the buffalo had been drinking, the trailer off in which they were whacking, was contaminated with something. And then he discovered that the farmers were hiding moonshine in the bottom of the trough and the bottles had broken.
Oh, I see. It reminds me of a cartoon I saw in the paper just about 4 days ago, last Sunday, one of the Sunday papers. It was brilliant. This little pig, and he's looking up at the farmer, he's throwing all the stuff into the trough, and he's going, swill? You call this swill? Anyway.
Well, what's interesting about this is these were animals that were drunk inadvertently. Did
right.
you know?
That a lot of animals get drunk and they do it purposely.
Correct.
Right. Who, like, what animals are we talking about here?
Well, fairly recently there was a story from Sweden of a pissed elk that got stuck in a tree.
A pissed elk that got stuck in a tree. Yeah. I don't want any more details. That's brilliant. That'll do. Okay, go on.
This elk ended up in a tree with one leg off the ground.
Remember an elk?
An elk?
Yeah, my theory. My theory. Because, I mean, you know your Monty Python. Okay, go on. Doesn't matter. Keep going.
Sorry. Yeah, so this elk ends up in the tree with one leg. I don't know if a single leg can be akimbo, but it was. And it turned out that what happened was the elk was eating huge amounts of semi-rotten apples. It was an apple tree.
Oh, right.
And had gotten itself three sheets to the wind in its cups, full, half cut, and then went looking for more apples. And it saw that there were apples in the tree and it thought, "I get out of my way, I can get the apples." And it tried to climb the tree, at which point it passed out. So they found a pissed elk
that
in a tree.
Phrase, three sheets to the wind, I always thought it was four sheets to the wind, or maybe it's as many sheets as you like. Where does it come from?
I'm assuming it comes from ye olde sailing ships. So that would be the amount of sails that you had unfurled, showing that you were fully
out. One
at
of the
it.
Most famous songs of Tom Waits is called Tom Trobert's Blues, and in brackets
it is.
It's four sheets to the wind in Copenhagen.
Was it four sheets? I always thought it was three.
Well,
it's one of those where the etymology, I suspect, will be argued over. The whole nine yards is a similar one.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it is.
So not just elk.
Says Anton, hoping Dave will ask him.
Correct.
The etymology.
Come on,
Dave. Oh, tell me about the
Come
whole
on,
nine
Dave. No, no, you can't fake it, Dave. I know when you don't feel
Damn,
it.
Damn, I should have gone for it straight.
So it turns out that it's not just elk. There are a load of animals who get happily pissed. There are macaques who will get drunk. Again, they tend to eat leftover semi-fermented fruit if they can find it.
Yeah.
There's lots of evidence of elephants doing it. And the slow loris, you know, the cutesy little fellow with the poisonous elbows.
No.
He also, slow loris, cute little fellow.
Look, I believe
elbows.
You, go on. No, I don't
Fine.
Have a clue.
Where was I? Elephants also get drunk on semi-fermented fruits that they find lying around. And my favourite one of all, dolphins, Dave.
Really?
Dolphins will use pufferfish to get, and I'm using a scientific term, high as balls.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't know that now. That's incredible. That's another little bit to put in my little black book.
I'm going, I don't care. You don't have to ask me. What they do is they catch the pufferfish, all of them, like a load of young lads. Yay, I got a pufferfish, Mick. And then what they do is they swim around massaging it with their little beaks. And pufferfish, when they become frightened, they exude a toxin.
Wow.
And all of these, they basically pass the duchy to the left-hand side amongst them. And eventually they get high enough on pufferfish toxin that they end up floating upside down 3 feet under the surface of the water, staring at their own reflections going, wow, man.
Wow.
Cool.
I'll take that piece of information with me and dissect it over the next 7 days. Oh, we're finished. Okay, Anton, thank you. Sorry, did you have any more stories?
No, there's no need to take my self-esteem down like this,
okay,
Dave. You could just be, if you've nothing nice to say, Dave, you could just say goodbye.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.